Welcome to So What Are You Reading Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Alicia.
And today we have got an interview for you guys.
Another interview.
Yes, we're interviewing an author, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Heidi McCann.
Oh, nice.
And she is based in Connecticut. I don't know if she's from Connecticut, but I know her questionnaire said that she lived in Connecticut currently.
Nice. So we know you love a hometown girlie.
Oh, shout out CT. So I'm so excited for her. And just to have another interview. We haven't had an interview in a little bit. So
yeah, we haven't had an interview in a little while, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, our last interview was another CT baddie, my friend Relisha.
Yes.
And that was such a good interview.
It really was. And I was surprised, like, I mean, I like the perspective because she was reading, like, more of the self-help
mm-hmm.
and, like
motivational, business stuff,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't exist in those spaces.
No.
Like, I've been called hard to motivate.
Mm-hmm. She's such like a, she's an entrepreneur. Yes.
Yeah.
And like to be like a mom and entrepreneur, like you have so much energy. So mm-hmm. I'm excited for.
And I'm like operating at like a 50%.
Right. At all times.
Literally. The 50 is the 100. Like that's
yeah,
my,
that's it for me.
And then after that, if I'm really hyped up, like if I get an extra espresso shot or something, maybe like 56. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I really gets going.
Right. Then I'm really going.
I'm really rolling. Mm-hmm. Like.
But we are excited to have Heidi on. And she'll, again, she is an author. She has written a book. And I'm not going to spill any tea on that. I want her to do all that
nice.
Jazz when she comes up. So we're excited for her.
Very excited.
So have you been reading anything new? Are you still reading The Good Nurse?
Yes. Okay. I'm still reading The Good Nurse. I haven't really. Honestly, I've read like 5 pages since last week when we talked about it. Of that, I didn't even read my little cozy mystery book this mm-hmm. week just because it's been busy. And every time I've gotten home, I'm just like, I'm going to read. And it's like I put my Kindle like kind of on my chest and then I fall asleep mm-hmm. with it. So I'm thinking about it. I just, yeah. But I've read like a total of 5
reading,
pages. Exactly.
I'm not.
Yeah, I have reading intentions.
Intent, right.
yeah, reading intent. And then I don't follow through, but I am enjoying the book. And I like that it's kind of going to be a slow burn just because of the accuracy and the fact that it's like real life
mm-hmm.
based, you know, based on a true story. I mean, I'm annotating that in detail so I can have all my thoughts together because that shit is crazy. And they do a lot of small nuanced things in the book that like, are probably not going to come up again. It's just one of those things you need to know like,
right.
as we kind of go through.
Yeah,
this
like it'll kind of bring
you know,
the picture together,
especially when it comes to like looks or revelations
right.
about his
mm-hmm.
psyche and like just how Charles Cullen.
It'll just
works.
Give you that little extra insight
yeah.
into him.
Yeah,
and
just
make
a little.
You like, I see why your dumbass is crazy.
Right, right. And I'm a person like I love when you make a good point. Like I mean, I think everybody does, but I'm very much into the point and into the aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the author doesn't really, or at least not yet. He's not really giving you that. Like aha, this is why
this
you
is
do
it.
This.
Right.
But there's little tidbits, and it'll be like, you know, oh, he's always been this way. And so like my annotations are very much like pushing the point, like. Are we not seeing this? Like, you know, yeah. So very anxious.
Nice.
Anxiety driven. Have you read anything new this week?
I just finished the second book in The Family Lawyer, like literally like 5 minutes before you got here.
See? See, I should have done that.
I just finished the second story. It was called The Night Sniper. And ooh, it was so good. It was the killer was like he was an EMT. So, like, that's how
See?
He, yeah.
I'm telling you, these medical professionals are psycho.
He was an EMT. And, you know, he was getting, like, inside information on the case because his coworker she was also an EMT.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to the DA. And she would, like, be spilling, you know, I mean, she's just
nah,
talking
girl.
About
You're
dumb
a narc for real.
Yeah, like,
you're
she was
literally
just
a
telling
narc.
Dumb shit. Like, you know, he would ask, like, fishing for information. Like, what's going on? Do you know what's going on with the case? And she's like, yeah, Ron don't know shit.
Uh-uh.
The task force don't know shit. And he's like, yes, yes, they don't know nothing. But no, he got caught out. In the end, his ass got caught and got his head blown off. So.
What?
Head.
Oh, wow. Like, did he get a shootout with the police or something? Or like,
well, he tried to, but somebody came out from the shadows. Not and the shot shadows. His ass.
No, that's a weirdo. You need to get him off the force, because, sir, why are you lurking? why are you lurking?
But come to find
you
out,
you think you're
like,
Batman, don't you?
So, like, remember I was telling y'all last weekend the cop who had came, they like pulled her out of the mental hospital because she had shot this kid. Come to find out, she was like, yeah, I be like high most of the time when I'm working, like on pills.
Oh, the pillies, not a pill popper. Mm-hmm.
She called them benzos. Pilliana. I don't really know what benzos are.
It could be like benzodiazepam.
I have no idea. I don't know what benzos are.
Are benzos
I
like...
I don't do pills.
Okay, so I don't do pills either, and I don't want my little bit of knowledge to make What's it that? Seem like I'm a pill popper.
Valium and Xanax. That sounds like a deadly concoction.
Like, are those... But would that be considered like a barbiturate? Like...
Okay.
See, I was right.
Okay.
I don't pop pills, you guys.
Will kill you. Amy Winehouse will tell you. Well, she won't
don't
tell
Don't bring
you.
Amy into this.
Amy Winehouse will not tell you.
Love you, girl. R.I.P. That's
classic. But she was like, she would
classic
do...
Classic combo.
Mm-hmm. See, Vicodin, I'm not a fan of. I heard it just too strong. I don't do pills.
I mean, I will do pills if someone has them, but... I don't do them because no one has any. And I'm not going to get my own. That's a little too much.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be out on the streets asking anybody for them.
I'm an opportunistic Pidiana.
I hurt my back a couple weeks ago. They gave me some pills at the doctor, and I'm already like,
I can't even be counted on to take cold medicine, so.
They already just make you, I don't need a muscle relaxer.
Relaxer.
It makes you too high. That I can't function.
No such thing.
There is, when you're a parent, yes, there is. You have to be able to,
oh, yeah, you're right.
to, like,
Girl,
function.
Give me them things. You don't need those.
They're too strong. I can't handle them.
No,
so
you're
I
right.
Will suffer.
Every time
in
you
pain
use the parent thing as a trump card, because I'd be like, girl, what are you talking about? I don't need to function between the hours of 6 p.m. 5:30 a.m., bitch. I got plenty of time.
I got zero time to function.
Literally. I have plenty of time to not do shit, okay? And don't let me be off the next day.
But, yeah, that's what the cop, she was like, yeah. I'd be like, she was, like, doing pills, and that's what she was afraid that it was going to come out that she had shot that kid while she was high. But she really was justified in shooting him, but she was also high at the same time.
So, yeah, well.
But come, you know.
When you're right, you're right.
it washes out in the end, and things go, you know, I don't want to. Things go good for her in the end, but, like, yeah. That guy was, like, he was, like, really an EMT killing people. And, like, his dad was a Vietnam vet, and he was a sniper, and that's how he became a sniper. His dad was, like, a real dick and would keep him, you know, out in the woods trying to shoot people and shit. He had him killing people when he was a child.
Y'all finna make me real suspicious of medical staff.
Yes.
If the dude driving my ambulance is crazy... I don't know what to do.
And not only that, then I also, like, I listened to this, an American Greed podcast where this doctor was just, like, prescribing these pills or this medication that was, like, for people who were in hospice, like, almost on their deathbed, like a pain
medication. For comfort,
yeah. But he was prescribing it to people that were, like, not in that stage of life, and they were getting addicted to the medication, and he was just prescribing it because it was him money. Yeah. Well, it was the money, well, like, no, they were selling.
So, and it's where they bill insurance.
Right,
and that's
exactly.
I told you about that guy who killed his whole family, Anthony Tote, whatever. That's why he was being pursued by the FBI, because he was billing people's insurance for treatments they weren't even receiving.
Right, so in the podcast, they were saying, like, they were telling the insurance company that these people have cancer or whatever, really didn't.
You so getting, like, billed, imagine getting billed
for
cancer,
cancer
and
you
got a tummy
don't have
ache.
It, right.
Your and, stomach hurt and right. you getting billed for cancer
and
on your
you
insurance.
They didn't have it and they were being charged, you know, in order to get all this, pay for all these medications and stuff. It was just, that was such a good, that was an American Greed podcast. Definitely check that out. They're not a sponsor.
They
either.
Need to they, put
I
the good
really
nurse
like
on
that.
American Greed, because to me, it's the same thing. Like, this whole thing with Charles Cullen and all these victims, like, he was allowed to kill people for 16 years because of these damn hospitals.
Right.
Y'all need to put them on there. Like, this is absolutely crazy. Yeah. Like, even when they had diehard concrete evidence that this man was a murderer, they were worried about the media fallout.
Yeah.
And they would be like, you know what? Write him a recommendation. Like, y'all couldn't at least blacklist him socially, right.
you know? That he can't, like, get a job.
So that he just can't get a job. Like, I get it. Maybe you don't want to go through the whole criminal thing because of the scandal. But y'all couldn't at least blacklist the man just among directors.
Right.
You know, among hospital, like, well, I don't know what the top, like, I think it's directors at the top or, like, you know, whatever corporate, you know, industrial hospitalization business hierarchy you got going on. Just make sure that you guys at least get rid of this guy. And they didn't even do that.
Yeah, so that's, and the fam, that that series, The Family Lawyer, that I'm reading by James Patterson. Thank you. And so the next story in it that I'm reading is called The Good Sister. And so
she's not good at all.
Probably not. So the book is, it's by James Patterson, but he's like co-authors with, the three stories are written with other people. So The Family Lawyer is written with Robert Rotstein. The Night Sniper is written with Christopher Charles. And then The Good Sister is written with Rachel Hall. So The Good Sister's synopsis is, her beloved sister's cheating husband has been found dead. Ooh. Now Danny Lawrence must decide if she will help the investigation that could put her sister away or obstruct it by any means necessary.
Let's obstruct. No, okay, sorry. That's low vibrational me. Mm-hmm. High vibrational me is, girl, tell them it was self-defense.
So we will see. But I'm not exactly sure why they call it The Family Lawyer, because like we were talking about last weekend, where like The Family Lawyer is like throughout the story, he's not.
Oh.
So I'm not sure why the whole book is called The Family Lawyer, but it's the three individual stories, and they're very good stories. I would highly recommend the book, but I'm not sure why it's called The Family Lawyer. But yeah, and this is my first James Patterson book that I've ever read.
Doesn't The Family Lawyer help like them help like these different family? I think the string is the family lawyer himself. So doesn't he just help them like get off on the murders?
I have no idea.
Wow. Is he a defense lawyer?
In the first story is called The Family Lawyer, and he defends his daughter.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. But anyway, the book is really good. I highly recommend. I know that James Patterson's like a big name author.
I mean,
author.
He out here doing collabs, so.
But I definitely recommend. I've never read a James Patterson book, so.
Got you.
I liked it. And I got that from my little free library.
I've never read it. No. I feel like I have.
You've probably watched a lot of his shows. I think a lot of, he's like another Stephen King.
Does he do like Lifetime movies or anything?
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of his books have been turned into movies and shows and all that jazz.
Okay.
I know Tyler Perry played Alex Cross.
Yeah, in that you're movie. Right.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's a James Patterson. Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry is me, if you think about it. Like, I would do some shit like that.
Right. And I think that was a good, I didn't see it, but I heard it was, I think it was pretty
like
popular.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was good. So I'm almost done with that. And I think my next book for my physical book is going to be The Grifters. It's about Shantae and Kenny Kynes. I don't know if you have heard of them. They are, I don't know if they're serial killers. I know they've killed multiple
people.
Very
mother and son,
like crime duo. Yeah.
Yes. I think that was the one murder they got tied to, but there probably are other mysterious.
There are other mysterious deaths connected to them. Yeah. So I'm going to start reading them. That's called The Grifters. I'm not sure who the author is. I'll put that in the show notes, but I think I'm going to start that. And I got that book from Half Price Books in Tacoma. So definitely check them out. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure that Half Price Books is like everywhere. But baby, I love Half Price Books.
I love no price books.
Free books are the best.
Give me the loot. Okay.
But I got that from Half Price Books, and I think I want to start that next weekend because I'm almost done with this book.
Period.
So that's going to be my next one. Either that one or The New American, and I'm not sure who the author is on that, but that's like a story about this guy who finds out that he is like an illegal alien, even though he's been living in the United States like his whole life. He finds out that his family's been illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets arrested for some one reason or another. And he gets shipped off to like Guatemala somewhere in Central America, even though he really don't even know nobody from there. And it's like his story about trying to get back to the United States.
And what did I tell you? I would have stayed over there out of spite.
And you don't want me? Fine.
Like, I don't know. Like, I would have done some weird shit, like beat America in the Olympics and then told my story on the news.
Yeah, they didn't want me, so I made left.
Or, like, I would have become famous some kind of way and then, like, did a tell-all book, like, denouncing the United States government. And, yeah.
You don't want me? That's okay.
Literally, I would have made it their problem. Like, I would have been so fucking mad. Like, I would have gone on an anime revenge, like, 20-year-long revenge plan just to stick it to America, like in the media somehow, not even to go, but like nothing has to happen from this, right? Like, you don't have to change it, like it's whatever,
right? But you're, I just want you to know, right?
And you're gonna be embarrassed when I win this Grammy.
Threw me out of your country. So
should have kept me, bitch. I would have got nerd revenge on an entire country, like,
yeah.
Something stupid.
So I'm in between those two books for my next pick. So if you guys have an opinion on which one I should read next, definitely throw that out there.
I think I already have a plan for my next series book. So like, what I think I'm gonna do is like kind of go through my little cozy murder mysteries, and then simultaneously have like a bigger book that
are you
I
reading
wanna...
like Agatha Christie murder mysteries. What are you reading, cozy?
It's kind of in that style, but it's this. Let me find the author. It's the Mahalia Watkins series.
Okay.
It's about that lady. She lives over in, like, the Washington, D.C. area, and she owns the Soul Food Restaurant. And she kind of finds herself in, like, J.B. Fletcher murder situations.
Okay.
People just tend to die around her. The police are incompetent. People are getting the wrong messages. And she's the observant one who is going to solve the problem for you motherfuckers. Because you obviously...
Because y'all dumb.
Don't get it. Like, you're clearly not getting it. So... that's what it is, and I like it. She's just like, she's in her late 30s, early 40s, black lady. She's got her cousin that lives with her, and her mom makes desserts for the restaurant, and they kind of help, you know, solve the case or whatever. Let me find the, I'm gonna find the author real quick.
Ooh, that sounds good. I love a good murder mystery.
Yeah, Mahalia Watkins, Soul Food Mysteries by A.L. Herbert.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah, it's these. And I love the covers. They're so cute.
Oh, the covers are cute.
Yeah, Murder with Collard Greens and Hot Sauce, Honey Ham Biscuits, Fried Chicken and Waffles is the first one.
Oh, those are... Oh, so he's like a... It's like a an Agatha Christie, but for black people.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the people, including like the killer, the deceased, for the most part, they're all black. If not, it's mentioned, like...
Ooh, depending that's on what's cute. Going on. I'm going to start those.
But you can always tell by the name.
Yeah. I mean, Mahalia Watkins.
Yeah, and they just call her Holly. And that's so cute also.
Oh, they should just call her Holly. But okay. But, yeah, so that sounds good.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds like a good series. I love a good murder mystery
series. It is. And there's another one, but it's like the Chinese version.
Okay.
By this other author. And with her, she's like a young... kind of like a millennial age like me. Like, she graduated college, got married really young, didn't work out. So she's, like, getting divorced, and she's moving back to her hometown to her parents' dim sum restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's working that, and some shit be going down, and she be having to solve that shit.
All right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all up in these, because the murders be really good. And it's, like, you know, it's nice. Nice, easy read.
Right.
Like, it's not gonna rip
That's
my soul
how I feel
out.
About this James Patterson book, where it's like they're quick stories.
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
a feel good.
You know, it's gonna come like to a nice wrap at the end.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna find out who the killer is. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna be all this. Like, there's no like really heavy. Like, I mean, it's murder, obviously,
right.
But it's like not any kind of like heavy duty, like
really emotionally damaging.
Correct. Yeah.
Because sometimes you need a break. From all that.
Especially because, like, I'm reading The Good Nurse right now. These are, like, really hard-hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are true murders they're going through. So, like, I can't always do that. And so this is a nice little fictional, like, no humans were injured
right,
during
like a real
the writing
breakup,
of this
right.
book kind of book. So,
yeah, I get that.
That's what I got on off to the little side. When I download the other one, because I'm going to find that author too, I'll be able to show it to you because I like those book covers too. And I found those both just walking through this bookstore. I know Barnes & Noble's had some, but that's not where I originally found it. I gotta remember where I originally... It might have been the library, if I'm being honest. Like, I was just going through the aisles.
Yeah.
And found some nice.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, so that's what we are currently reading. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to interview Heidi McCann. So we will talk to you in just a second.
Before we get into too much, we wanted to take an opportunity to thank our sponsor, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery. The Anxious Tomato is more than a simple art gallery. Started by Ashley Laufer and Kate Roussel in their stride to connect with the local artistic community, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery strives to provide more education and accessibility to art and artists in Tacoma and its surrounding areas. They aspire to be an experience for the public, ensuring that everyone leaves with a renewed view of art and the artists behind it. Their online presence allows for artists of various mediums to submit work, be recognized, and engage with the community. If you'd like to experience a new type of art gallery, support, engage, and donate to the Anxious Tomato at anxioustomato.com. That's anxioustomato.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. I can hear you now.
Oh, great, great.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for coming on last minute.
Oh, no, not a problem. That's kind of my thing. I've got four kids and two dogs and a job. So,
oh, yeah.
It, sometimes last minute is good.
It's the only thing, the only option.
Love that.
Right. Well, first,
exactly
I want
right.
to say that I'm from Connecticut. So I love that you are in Connecticut right now.
Oh, I love that. Where in Connecticut?
I'm from Meriden, Connecticut.
Yeah. All right.
So
that's
just
great.
A tiny little, not nothing, nobody's town where this is from. I think it's more like a city now, I feel like, since I moved out a few years ago, 10 years ago, I think I moved out. But yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. So just before we even get into this, let's tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Heidi McCann. I live in Simsbury, Connecticut, although right now I'm sitting in a parking lot at a gas station in Windsor, Connecticut.
Okay.
we got caught in a little snowstorm coming home from Vermont.
So, oh, no.
It's all good. It's all good. So I live in Simsbury. For work, I'm a development professional, meaning I work on fundraising for an independent school here in Connecticut.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I've been doing development work for over two decades. I love it because it's really just, honestly, it's relationship building, and I get to meet a lot of really great people. And I'm a people person, so it's a perfect job for me.
That's nice.
I went to school for writing. I have an undergrad and a graduate degree in writing. And so that was really why I wrote my book in terms of that. But I have four children. My eldest is 17. My youngest is 9. And a wonderful, wonderful husband whose name is Paul. And two dogs who keep me very busy as well.
Nice. So you've got a busy life.
A full house. Yes.
You got a lot going on down there. So I always like to ask people, what is your favorite food in your area? I'm from Connecticut, so I feel like I might know, but like, what's your popular food in Simsbury?
That's a great question. So I don't know. Well, it is a restaurant in actually Avon, which is the town right next to Simsbury, and I live on the border. And it's a place called Little City Pizza. So pizza is my favorite food. I could eat it every day.
Oh, yeah. Connecticut's voted best pizza like 10 years in a row.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So New Haven, Connecticut has Pepe's, which is delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah. And Little City Pizza, in my opinion, is just as good. So we get that probably at least once a week. And there's also Naples Pizza. Anyway, pizza is my go-to.
Nice.
I love that.
I love pizza.
And I found like one or two pizza spots over here because I wasn't
expecting.
Oh,
my God. The West Coast is terrible for pizza.
They are terrible for pizza. But I've managed to find two places that that guaranteed are going to have good by the slice pizza.
Yeah.
Good.
So they don't do that a lot.
No, they don't do a lot of by the slice, which is really strange. Mm-hmm. As someone from the East Coast, they're like, what do you mean you can't just buy a slice of pizza?
Yeah, they don't even know what you're talking about.
No, it's out of control.
Oh, that's really interesting. So where exactly are you guys? Are you in Washington State or are you California?
We're in Washington State, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, great. We're just outside of Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful. I've never been there. I've heard it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
gorgeous. We live right by the beach, so it's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty awesome. Wonderful. Yeah. So what initially got you into reading? Have you always been a reader since childhood?
Yes. I've always been a reader. I love to read. I grew up reading Nancy Drew. That was probably the Nancy Drew Mysteries.
Ooh, yes.
And then Judy Blume. So I was born in the mid-70s. So Judy Blume and Nancy Drew were kind of my go-tos as a kid. I just loved it because I felt like I could escape into all these different worlds.
And they're just like childhood detectives. And you're like, I could totally be her.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, just how observant they are. Yes. And like, just how they're able to put to. I'm like, oh, I can do that. What?
So what types of media do you read? Are you into like analog books? Are you like a audiobook reader or a digital reader?
So right now I've just gotten into downloading the books and reading them on my phone, literally within probably the last month or two. I actually like it. I like it that I can, when I'm at the gym, which is usually the me time is at the gym, and I can pick it up and on my phone and just keep
so
reading
convenient.
While I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I paper books are still my favorite only because maybe it was because going to school for so many years in majoring in English where I like to annotate. I like to mark up the book.
Yes.
And I like
mm-hmm.
to find the
exactly.
passages. And I know you can do that. I'm learning that you can do it on the devices.
Mm-hmm.
You can highlight. But I'm not an expert yet, so I still prefer the paperback. But I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone.
It's nice to be able to like write your little notes in whatever book you're reading.
I've just gotten into digitally annotating myself, and it's awesome. I can't go back now.
Yeah.
Okay, so once you get used to it, you're good.
Yes. For me, I like to be able to look back, and you can even like edit annotations too. You can have like some people have different highlighting guides for what they use for, like something to do with the character development.
Yeah, like
versus,
you can highlight
like,
in different
plot.
Colors and
yep.
stuff. Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
Oh, very
really
interesting.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is helpful. But I do agree. So there's nothing like a physical book.
Yep.
It's just something about it. Have the smell, the feel, especially if it's like a paperback and it's something you've read a lot
and it's really worn.
Yeah, and the pages are torn. You're like, this is my book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, 100%. And that is one thing. All my years of reading, hardcovers are not my a go-to for me. And I don't know if it's because they're not flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting. It's one thing I've never chosen to read. Of course, if there's a book that's come out that you can only get in hardcover, I'll grab it. But normally I like the paperback.
Yeah. It feels like there's more pressure to keep a hardcover nice.
Yes.
And I've gotten over, that whole pristine book thing years ago.
I'm a page, like, turner, corner,
I'm
folder.
I'm a dog ear, psychopath.
I'm a dog ear, yes, for
you
sure.
Know, so, there's a lot of pressure to keep those books nice. And usually when I was reading hardcovers, it was, like, my nonfiction, like, books that I needed. So I just don't associate them with the books I carry around with me because they're usually big and bulky anyway. So I'm
right. And usually for me, like whatever book I'm reading, I have it with me. So I'm like, it's in my purse.
Yeah.
It's like in the car. It's getting all folded and stuff. So I just don't have
being
the time
abused.
for it to be like in pristine
mm-hmm.
condition. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Kind of like
I'm
going to
feel bad about it.
My
I don't want to feel bad.
It's not in pristine condition. So just keep it.
Yeah. I just don't want the consequences.
Right.
Blanket statement for the rest of everything else.
Period.
So what is your go-to place to buy books in Simsbury? Where do you go when you're like, I want to get a book? Or where are we going to buy one?
Oh, that's a great question. So in Simsbury, Well, there's a Barnes and Noble, which would be the go-to. Mm-hmm. They're in the they're in the Evergreen Walk Shops in Canton, Connecticut, which is literally right next to Simsbury. Mm-hmm. There's been some talk of an independent bookstore opening in Simsbury.
Oh, nice.
Which I would be really, really excited for. From as far as I know, well, I know it's not open right this second, and I'm not really sure what's happening. I know there were talks about it before COVID, and now there were some talks, you know, the last year or so, and I'm not sure. I'm hoping that they'll still be able to do
it. Yeah, there's nothing like a good small bookshop. They have all the little small books.
They feel cozy. Mm-hmm. I think the last one me and my husband went to was down in Miami, mm-hmm. this little tea shop. It was also like a bookstore and had board games in there.
I was going to say, so I feel like those bookshops are always like where you can sit, like you can mm-hmm. buy your book and then sit and read it and like just be in your own little area. You can
order like sandwiches and mm-hmm. stuff. All the kids from school, they just would go there, even if they didn't necessarily read. It's like, I mean, you can go there to study, play games.
Yeah, just a quiet place.
There was a bodega cat.
Nice.
There was a cat. He was mean, though, but I like that. I'm into it.
So
I was just going to say, when I was in college, I went to school in Vermont in a town that was, there wasn't a ton going on there. So I'd always, my junior and senior year, I had a car and I would drive up to Burlington that had some wonderful coffee shops. Mm-hmm. And that is probably my favorite place to read, not to buy the book, but to read. Because there's people bustling all around you, but you can just kind of cocoon and be in your own little world.
I need the background noise. I do need the background noise, and I need people to play music, like go about your day, make food. I don't know, but like no one talked to me.
Yeah, but just be in my own little world.
I go to bars now, even with a book. That's a thing.
I always bring my book to the bar.
A lot of my, good girlfriends, they'll do that. You go to a bar, you know, not necessarily like peak hours or like during game day, but like, you know, like on a Tuesday afternoon during lunchtime, you can go in there and sit down. No one will bother you. Just sit there and read. It's cool. Get soup.
Yes.
Love soup.
That is very cool.
Nice. So what's your favorite genre of book that you like to read?
I have two probably for reading. I like creative nonfiction. Actually, I love creative nonfiction. I also like fiction or historical fiction.
Ooh, love historical fiction.
Yes. But creative nonfiction to me is probably my favorite because it is a true story, but it's written, at least the ones that I love, it's written like a novel. So, you know, you can't put it down usually. Mm-hmm. They read like a story, but as you're reading it, you're well aware that it happened. Mm-hmm. And I like to read about the people's lives, usually people that, you know, not necessarily famous people, or just the everyday people mm-hmm. and what they went through.
And it's often way more exciting than mm-hmm. anything someone could make up. You're like, there's no way that this is real. And you're like, nope, this was an actual real story.
Mm-hmm. The only thing they're, you know, creating is maybe that dialogue.
But right.
Yeah, I love that.
So what draws you to a particular story when you're looking for a book to read?
Probably something that I can relate to, something that I've experienced myself, maybe obviously not the same exact way, but in general, because I like to read books to make me feel, for the lack of a better description, less alone, like somebody's experienced what I've experienced.
I'm not crazy.
Right?
Right, yes. I am not crazy. Someone else feels the same way that I do.
Yes, that's exactly right. Like the last couple of years, or not couple, but probably the last decade and a half, you know, having four children spanning 9 years, it's been hard to read a full book, in mm-hmm. all honesty. And so I do a lot of article reading, and I'm drawn to the articles about motherhood, or you know, whatever phase my kids are in, mm-hmm. because you feel like, okay, I'm not the only one going through this. Yes. Experiencing,
I think my child might be insane, and you're like, nope, they're all insane.
They're all varying degrees of crazy.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it's easy. I think it's good to lean on articles. Like, a lot of people don't think of it as a valid form of reading, but I like to lean on my articles, especially when I just want to get through something really quick, or maybe there's a question I have, or, like, I remember I fell down a rabbit hole, you know, relationship discourse. I'm usually not that into it, but this seemed really juicy. So, gotta read articles about that stuff. I gotta come with my facts to the comments section. Mm-hmm. Gotta cite my sources. So. Right. I like that.
Yes.
So, do you have a favorite author?
Oh, that's a difficult one for me. I won't lie about that. I really like Anita Shreve. She's an author that I read a lot of, again, kind of before kids, when I read a lot of books. My previous life, yes, exactly. But The Weight of Water is a great book. The Pilot's Wife, she wrote both of those. She's written a ton of books. Assuming that you'd ask me that question, that was kind of the first thing that popped into my head.
Yes.
And I unfortunately, I probably couldn't tell you what those books were about because it's been a long time since I read them, but they're beautiful. They're beautifully written. And the descriptions are wonderful, which I truly appreciate. I like when authors set the scene and you really understand the place that they're in, and you get to know the characters as though you're right there along with them.
Yeah.
Yes. It's nothing like getting to know a character in a book when you're like, this, I would be friends with this person. Like, mm-hmm. This is my actual friend.
Oh, I love a good description.
Yes. So do you have any pet peeves when it comes to books when you're like, I'm definitely not reading that book?
Yeah. Something that would make you stop reading a book. And
I've never stopped reading a book. I will say that.
Oh, God bless you people who don't do that. I am so much.
I'm a good person.
I will stop reading a book in a second.
That's literally me. I'm going to finish it.
No.
Got to hang in there.
I would sometimes. Say, so the first, the book that I read on my phone, the first book that I read on my phone a month or so ago was The Perfect Marriage. And it was a book where I a couple of times I put my phone down just to say, I'm going to need a minute. I thought it was a good book. It was a little predictable for me. But the couple of times that I did put it down and maybe wasn't going to go back to it was, when you're just, you kind of know where it's going and you're like, do I really want to read it if I know where it's going? So that's probably a little bit of a pet peeve, especially when it does go that way. If it doesn't go that way, then you're like, okay.
Yeah. Very
surprised. You got me.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing worse. We were talking about with a previous guest where they like copy paste. You're like, oh, you've clearly read Lord of the Rings. There's just nothing but elves and dwarves and all this. And you're
right.
Like, this
or it's
is
like
the
a
worst.
Cookie cutter kind of like dynamic here. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well. And it's nice if they, but even I find even with those twists sometimes, if it's too cliche of a thing going on in the beginning, even the twist is cliche.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you lost me.
It'll bring the twist right back to where you were at before. And you're like, well, this is Lord of the Rings.
This was one of the three things that was going to happen. So I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when it's like, there's so many ideas out there. Just come up with something different.
Or it doesn't have to. Or sometimes I feel like people do things for a certain level of shock value, maybe. And I'm like, okay, I'm easy. I don't need all that.
Yeah.
You have to do this.
Yes.
Like, I'm wowed just by, like,
yes,
the
it doesn't
story
need
itself.
To be, like, it's not
I'm
even
sold.
Doing, like,
you
it's
don't
very,
have to do
like,
this.
Kafka, where you're, like, doing a lot of meandering and doing, and it's like, we don't need to do all this.
Or they, like, up the end, like, there's, like, three twists in one chapter, and I'm like, whoa, slow down. What kind of woman do you think I am? This is crazy. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why I like creative nonfiction so much, because it is based on true life, and that true life will have some twists, but not so many that you're like, okay, enough.
Yeah, you're like no one's life is really this dramatic.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it gets to be kind of like soap opera after a point. And you're like, okay, what else? But I do like I like learning. For me, I love a good time skip or like a good like aging of a character. Mm-hmm. So you see them in multiple phases of life. That's where I feel like you can fit a lot of those small twists in, because you're going through an entire lifetime. Like, that's fine. But don't bombard me with all this stuff happening. And then I'm looking through the book and I'm like, okay, it's only been a week
since we've started. Or they're like, they're 15. Yes. And you're like, there's no one has this much drama.
They've only known each other for a month. Let it go. Like, no.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
That is too funny. So if there is one, what is your, like, go-to book recommendation? If anyone asks you for a book, you're like, I always recommend this one. What's your go-to book recommendation?
That's a really great question. Well, this is going to show my schooling. I'll give you two. One is, and I know it's not many people would actually read it, but I absolutely love Ulysses. It's just a book that I know it's a book that, I had to read but I just absolutely loved it. My eldest daughter is looking at me right now, who's in the car, like, oh my God, are you kidding? Because she had to read
That's
it.
That's your book recommendation.
That's how I feel about the Elie Wiesel book, the Auschwitz book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always recommend them. And they're like, girl, you mean that book we read in eighth grade? Yes. And I don't care. It's good.
I know. So my other one will be, it's a book that, my first husband passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, a long, long time ago, two decades ago. And after he passed, I was searching for books, books on grief, books on loss, books on does life go on, all that sort
of
thing.
Help me. I need help.
Books. Help me And at the time, I found a few that were fine and they were good. And then a couple of years later, maybe about 6 or 7 years after Kurt died, Joan Didion's The Year of Magical Thinking came out.
Yes.
And that is a beautiful book. It was beautiful. And it was, again, you know, Kurt had been gone already over 5 years at the time. I would have loved to have read her book right after Kurt died. But that's a book that is, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to
I recommend that book.
Yeah.
I'm just a macabre person in general. So, like, I've kind of gone through, like, reading about grief and loss and, like, death and practices and all of that other stuff. I don't know. I have a god sister who's a mortician, so I kind of, like, poke her for information. So she showed me that book, and, like, it's crazy.
It's beautiful. But I ended up, if you don't mind me saying, I ended up writing my own book about grief and loss and all
nice.
Of that.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah. It took me 22 years after Kurt's loss, but I finally did it. And I just published it about 6 months ago. So
that's awesome.
Here, let me.
Yeah. Very, very exciting.
So what are you currently reading now?
So right now, right this second, I'm actually not reading a book, which is a little sad. But since publishing my book, I've actually been so busy just trying to get it out there and doing all of that stuff. And then with work and the kids and the house and that sort of thing. But I'm looking forward to being able to slow down, hopefully over the holidays, and pick up a couple of good books. One book that I would like to read, only because I've seen it a ton, just popping up on social media. I've joined all these book clubs through like Facebook and Instagram and all of that, trying to get back into the reading world. And Zibby Owens' book, Bookends. I actually don't even know what it's about, but I've seen so much about it. I think that's the book I'm going to choose for my holidays.
Nice.
That's going to be awesome.
So tell us all about your book. Let's hear all about you. This is your hour now. Go for it.
Oh, well, my book is called Whatever the Future Holds, and it's
and
it's
Lee's already found it on Instagram and purchased it. So,
oh my gosh,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's great.
I'm being such
it's,
a weirdo.
It's creative nonfiction, which is what I was. It's what I'm skilled to do. It's what I learned to do, and it's a book about a lot of things, but mainly it's about love. It's about loss. It's about grieving. It's about healing, and it's about hope. And it's a book that takes you through Curtis and I first meeting. We met when I was 15 and he was 17. So it talks about, you know, a very adolescent love for the first couple of chapters to get you into it. And then it kind of completely does a 180 when he's diagnosed with a terminal illness at the age of 25.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he was super young. He was 25. I was 23. We were living together at the time. He was diagnosed with ALS. And so then the middle part of the book takes you through us living with the disease. He had a very progressive form, so he was given 6 to 12 months to live.
Oh, my gosh, at 25? Holy cow.
It was just extraordinary. It was, you know, in the moment, we just lived, not even day by day, but moment by moment.
Absolutely.
Right? There's no time to think. There's no time to plan. Again, it was so progressive that literally one day he could perform a function and one day he could not. ALS essentially paralyzes you body part by body part. And your mind, at least in his case, remains completely unaffected.
Which is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
You're like a prisoner in your own body.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. But Curtis was a very optimistic person. And we honestly enjoyed a most magnificent year, despite the horrific pieces of ALS. And I will not sugarcoat that. There are parts of it that are awful, but we chose to live, every day. We came up with a tagline that I know exists in other ways, but basically learning to live while preparing to die. And it was beautiful. After Curtis passed, which is the last third of the book, was the hardest for me. Mm-hmm. Doing anything with him was okay. Once he was gone, you know, I was 24. I was a kid. I was a kid.
Yes, mm-hmm. A baby.
Mm-hmm. And couldn't relate to anybody my age for sure. Or not anybody. Actually, I did meet a couple of people around my age that had experienced the losses of somebody very close to them. And we formed a bond, which was wonderful. But anyhow, so the end of the book just really shows the realities of going through having to do a funeral and having to, you know, in a very creative nonfiction way. So it tells you the story through my lens. And then in the end, it's hope. It's me deciding that it's okay to go on without him. There's also some parts in there that talk about how we did actually, or in my opinion, we did continue our relationship on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. I experienced things that I never would have thought were possible and never would have believed in if I hadn't experienced them. Mm-hmm. And that I think is, you know, our story there. And then it talks about deciding, you know, it's okay to move on. My life is going to be different, but it's going to move forward. And then it ends with, you know, me ending up, I do meet somebody else after I've decided it's okay to go on. And then my four kids and, you know, still him always being a part of my life. Curtis always being a part of my life. Always,
mm-hmm,
always, mm-hmm. Always. I feel him every day. I walk my dogs every day, and that's when we reconnect.
Nice.
That is so amazing.
I can't wait to read this.
Seriously. God gives his strongest missions to his strongest soldiers, and honey, if you ain't a strong soldier,
it's
I don't
not
know
me.
What is.
I've been trying to tell.
No missions like that, Jesus, because I can't handle it. And at 23, I was literally
still living
at home. I'm 25 now.
I couldn't imagine.
There's no way. Oh, and you wrote a book about it and everything. I cannot wait to read this book.
Oh,
I'm so excited about it.
This is going to change my brain chemistry.
Oh, well, I wrote it for others. I wrote it for Curtis. I wrote it for Curtis. I had promised him I would do it. It took me a long time, but I did it. We designed our gravestone together. And the back side of it is the outline of a book.
Oh,
my promise to him that I would do it.
That's amazing. I'm sure he is he's definitely so proud of you and everything that you have accomplished. This is so amazing. And to come through such an adversity, but people come through when people are experience something like this, it's like you either crawl into a hole and die or you like push through. And I'm so happy that you push through.
Oh, man. Me too. But there were times when it was close.
I could imagine. Yes. I could imagine. There's no way to be so young.
Yeah.
And to go through something. So most people, I mean, even when you're older and you've been with someone for so long, it's so hard to get through a loss of them. But to have to do it at such a child at 23, like really not knowing anything. So I'm so proud of you. You should be really proud of yourself. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
So what is the name of your book and where can we find it?
It's called Whatever the Future Holds. Heidi McCann, that's my name. That's the author. It's currently on Amazon and barnesandnobles.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also been picked up by like various thrift books, like online bookstores as well. You can, it is not in the Barnes & Noble store yet, but from what I understand, it can be requested by anybody and they will get it into the store for you. And also what I'm working on really pretty hard right now is trying to get it into libraries.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to go into their library and request it, from what I understand, they will, I know they can, because I published it through Ingram Spark as well. And so I'm sure you can get it. It might take a little bit to have the library get it, but that would make me really happy because I would love it to be accessible to all, to anybody who wants to read it.
And people going through grief, I feel like people don't realize that books are a way to like get through grief.
It's inevitable. So I feel like we're just really closed off to the subject as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like my parents get upset with me because I'm trying to get them to draft advanced directories. And I'm like, come on, guys. But they, yeah.
Yes.
They're not with me.
And I could talk for hours about this.
Yeah.
We could talk for hours. My family, and I'm not saying this in a joking manner, although it sounds like a joke, but my family calls me the angel of death.
Yes.
Because I'm always
like, you need a will. Like, this is you need.
My thing is, we plan for things like weddings, birthday parties, you know, stuff that we don't necessarily know is going to happen, but we don't plan for what we absolutely know.
No, yeah. And it's like, it's not even about you getting old and dying. Like, you could get hit by a truck and die. Anything could happen.
Of embarrassment. I mean, personally, like, things go on.
And yeah. And okay. So it's like, you have to be able to. These are things we need to be able to talk about. So yes. I definitely get that.
So, yes.
Yes, yes. And I hope that my book will help people do that, because I do.
Ooh, yes.
I'm very honest in the book. I'm very frank about it. And I'm hopeful that it will open up some conversations by people who read it with their families. And again, although it's about somebody with a terminal illness, like you guys are saying, there is only one guarantee. We are all going to die.
Like, be patient. It's definitely going to happen.
Be patient. We got this.
So you have to prepare for it. I totally agree. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us, Heidi. We really enjoyed you.
It was so awesome. Oh, you get
thank
me.
Thank you so very much. I enjoyed you guys so much. And I'm sorry I'm in my car. But
no.
I worked out just
I
fine.
Love this.
You're literally in my dining room, so it's perfectly fine.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have all your show notes, all of your contacts in the show notes and all that, and a link to your book on Amazon.
Yes.
So definitely go out and get that. And we will talk to you again for sure. I'm sure you're going to do another book. I have a feeling. If you give me a second book feeling.
You give me second book vibes.
Yeah, you give me second book vibes. So for sure, you will be back on the show again, I'm sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are very welcome. Have a great night.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
That was our interview with Heidi.
Oh,
she was amazing.
Such a harrowing experience.
Oh, like, my girl. If my husband died at 23, I'm dead.
Look.
You can just pack me up.
Look. As soon as I thought about it, I was like,
getting in the casket together.
Kawan dies tomorrow. Me jumping in the casket.
In the casket together.
That I'm on drugs.
And she like has a whole family now and is like a mom. And
she's writing about, no.
I'm telling you.
My life would have ended right there.
When I tell you God, he gave to a strongest soldier, she is a general.
I'm not one of them.
In the army.
Don't put
Girl,
me in
don't
that.
Don't do it to me,
don't
Jesus.
Don't do it, Lord. Don't put me in that.
Don't do it.
Oh my gosh. That's
amazing.
Crazy. I can't wait to read this because...
Yes.
I don't know, like the last few years, really since I like moved out on my own seriously and like, you know, my parents are getting older and like, you know, this death talks in general. First of all, I did a project on it
to get my grad degree. Mm-hmm. You remember that. And I was making that website so that you could get all of your ready-made, like, death stuff together. So, like, I have a lot of books on it, but I don't have any kind of, like, personal anecdotal way, like, stories about people dealing with loss and grief. Like, mm-hmm. I've always come from, like, that corner of, like, ethical, medical.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we don't talk about it. But even as I was learning about it, even then, I'm coming from like a historical,
right.
culturally competent mm-hmm. space, even like the effects of climate, you know, consumerism, as far as like the privatization of our right. death industry, mm-hmm. like that kind of stuff. Not really personal and emotional.
Yeah. Like an emotional, mental standpoint.
Yeah. Because I'm scared.
It. Yeah.
So this will be nice.
Yes, and it'll be nice to be able to like, and I like that how she wrote the book for like her whole journey. It's not just about her recovery from it. It was 20 years all of it. Yeah,
it's not like she had to like freshly farm out her grief. Yeah. You know, for mm-hmm. the public's consumption. That's what I want to tell all of you people that trauma dump on the internet. Like, let it cool off for a little bit. Like.
Before you putting okay. all your business out there.
But also tell me your business. But no, you don't have to also. Like, I like that she's fully processed everything.
Yes.
It might still be, you know, doing that. You mm-hmm. know, the, yeah. So I'm going to have to read that.
Yes.
It's already in the cart.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. So definitely go check out Heidi's book. Yes. Whatever the future holds.
Check out Heidi's book because you will go through this.
There is not a doubt.
Maybe not in the same way,
but
somebody's going to die. And then what?
And you will need to know how to deal with the grief. And I feel like as somebody who has been able to process something like that, she is mm-hmm. a go-to resource yeah. for somebody for that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get out of here, we want to remind you to head over to The Anxious Tomato.
Yes.
We are at... they're at theanxioustomato.com. They have the artist of the month is Nami Oshiro.
Oh, yes. I saw her work.
Isn't it amazing?
Very bright, colorful palette.
Yes. Bright, colorful palettes. Very, like, cartoony. Abstract, uh-huh. cartoony. Love it.
I love it. That's and, art I would love to have in my house.
Mm-hmm. And we want to head over to, if you're in the area, we head over to the Locust Cider and check out the art that we have up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's new artist of the month there as well. It'll be up all month long. And the gallery night for December is on the 18th, December yep. 18th from 4 to 7. Come and check it out. I'll be there.
Boom.
And, of course, you want to head over to Art Co-Framing and Gallery. They've got new art up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a Christmas sale going on for frames. So if you're looking to get something framed, it doesn't necessarily need to be a picture. Yeah. That you've drawn. It could be like a nice old picture something. Of your family or anything like that. They do anything. Frames and they do custom frames. So definitely go and check them out.
Mm-hmm. You know, I rented Ashley a car.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I saw her last week.
That's so funny.
I was like, girl, what?
What We're are you doing all here? Over the place.
And then Drake was like, oh my God, you know that? I was like, yes.
I'll write the they're ticket. Our sponsor.
Give me the tablet.
You don't know what you're
and
doing.
And I just checked her out.
Give
that was so funny, though. It was so random.
That's right, because The Anxious Tomato and the So What Are You Reading podcast were everywhere.
Pretty much. Like, that was kind of weird.
Yes. And check us out on the So What Are You Reading podcast on Instagram. And we are at the So What Are You Reading podcast on our private Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So check us out there and come and fill out the questionnaire so that you can be a guest on the show. We are looking for new guests for 2023.
Ooh, yes.
So if you have some book recommendations that you're looking to get out there, you just want to talk books, because I know a lot of y'all friends is not
yes,
talking
like,
books
and
like
I'm
that.
Not worried about spoilers like at all also. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't want to, they're worried
yeah,
about
they don't want to spoil the
girl,
book.
Girl, I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
Okay, spoil it, because I'm going to read
because
it anyway.
It's not going to be the same when you read it. Right,
right. And I'm going to forget.
And that too.
Like, I'm going to remember the interest I had in it because you mentioned it, but I'm not going to remember what you mm-hmm. actually told me or revealed.
So don't worry about like spoiling books. If
exactly.
you are looking to
because
get
it doesn't matter. I'm going to
a
enjoy
book
it.
Recommendation out there. If you know an author, we're looking for all those book, all those guests for 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know.
I have
know.
The memory of a goldfish, so don't
and
be scared.
Yes. And so I think that's it for us.
Yep. That's
yeah. Well, we will talk to you guys next weekend.
Bye.
Bye.